Today, October 22nd, 2023, we're beginning our study at 2028 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you, and Born and Raised, our article. I keep wanting to say Born Again, which is similar to what the title means, but Born and Raised. It's the story of the chronology of the world as well as the life of Jesus Christ and his chronology in the truest possible form of it that we can find based on the facts of secular history and the Bible, the scriptures being foremost. Unless it can give us an astronomical event, chapter 9, paragraph 9, to provide alignment or some other absolutely datable event with which to align events, no scripture can offer to us an independent confirmation of its own chronological era. So, if it is independent confirmation that we seek, we are required to find it from within a secular history. The problem is thus that we are asking to confirm true words, the Word of God, using much less certain facts. In this study, we must always be careful to believe in the truth of God's Word when it differs from some less reliable source of information, and give God priority. Some brothers have had difficulty in believing secular conventional chronology because they found more truth in a particular understanding of one scripture itself. They are not less interested in the truth than we are. Nobody accepts the same chronology in all its details unless they accept the same secular history generally. Such history is full of disagreement amongst scholars. Considering others as superior to us, and knowing that two are better than one, we may be wise to be guarded. The main thing is that scriptural values take primacy. One knows prophets by their fruits, as Jesus taught, Matthew 7:16. So, I mean, obviously some brothers may not be true brothers. Maybe they're false brothers, and they may not be interested in the truth as much as we are. That's possible, too. But chronology is a generally controversial topic, even amongst the most expert or the scholars. But the thing is, we need that confirmation from secular history in order to validate God's word, because the Bible can't give us the absolute chronology unless it can give us an astronomical event or some way to make the date absolute, which it just doesn't do. Not that we've seen, anyway. Or sometimes we do use astronomy, actually. There was at least one eclipse that we've drawn from in our chronology that was mentioned in the Bible, but you know, it's generally not necessarily absolutely compelling, is the problem. Unless it gives us the real details of the eclipse in such a way that we can make it an absolute date, which just doesn't happen or hasn't happened. But we can certainly confirm our dating using eclipses if they're mentioned in the Bible, and there's one at least that was mentioned in the article, one of the articles that we have in the genealogy. Now, for today's proverb, little ones. We have Proverbs 24 and 9. The loose conduct of foolishness is sin, and a ridiculer is something detestable to mankind. Who would have thought of foolishness as loose conduct? But that's a good description of it, is it not? It's not very precise conduct if we're behaving foolishly. And that is a form of sin, therefore to be foolish, according to that scripture. And a ridiculer is something detestable to mankind. A ridiculer. Somebody who makes a mockery of someone else or something else. Our reading from Judges for today, Judges chapter 16. Oh yes, we've only done 6 minutes so far. I don't know if I'm going to need a bathroom break, because there's a new issue. I've been developing a new issue here with my inability I'm starting to eat more calcium right now, to add a small amount of milk to my tea and doing some other things like eating some cheese. I'm adding calcium, so it's changing the way my body reacts, and it's in some ways it's improving things. My solid waste elimination is improved by this, but somehow it's not. Well, also the cold weather is another factor. It affects things strangely. Cold weather does things. It takes time for the body to adapt to the cold weather and behave in the same way, at least in my case, since I have a particular issue, problem with the external water valve, the last water valve, you know, in my system. It's not normal and doesn't always want to work. And that's a problem sometimes in the cold weather. It's like my body wants to retain the water. But it's also much easier to pass water when you're fasting, and I'm not fasting. I'm eating a lot of food, or I'm eating fair amount of sugar, which is water retentive, because it raises the insulin. Insulin retains water in the body. So there's some problems. I'm experiencing some problems. I don't know. They're not necessarily cataclysmic problems. I keep worrying that if I ever can't pass water at all, then I'd be in big trouble. That's my big, sort of concern. But so far that hasn't been the case. And I think it's been marvelous. I'm able to take some vitamin D again, small amount. I think I need that too. I really think that helps. I mean, I think it's necessary. I just don't know whether the vitamin D that was overdosed in my body was able to help me enough without taking more vitamin D. So even though I've got too much vitamin D still in my body, I might still have to take vitamin D, because it's not in the right form in my body. So it'll be leaving my body as I'm taking small amounts of vitamin D orally, through cod liver oil. It's one way to get a smaller amount of vitamin D, if I take a small amount of cod liver oil. And I can take krill oil. Doesn't have, for vitamin A, I think, and the omegas, doesn't have much vitamin D in it. But so let's not get too far behind here with our reading. For now, we've got 9 minutes or so that we've used so far. Once Samson went to Gaza. Okay, Samson, a strong man who was a Nazarite. He got his strength not just from being a young man, but also from being a Nazarite. And this is what this chapter shows. Chapter 16 of Judges, Once Samson went to Gaza and saw a prostitute woman there and came into her. And report was made to the Gazites, saying, Samson has come in here. So they surrounded him and lay in wait for him all night long in the city gate. And they kept quiet the whole night, saying, as soon as the morning gets light, we must also kill him. However, Samson kept lying till midnight, and then rose at midnight and grabbed hold of the doors of the city gate. At midnight, and the two side posts, and pulled them out along with the bar, and put them upon his shoulders, and went carrying them up to the top of the mountain that is in front of Hebron. A city gate would be pretty big, you would think, because it would have to allow wagons to enter the city and in two directions, one leaving and one entering at the same time, for example. It would have to have, you know, quite a big, strong lintel, and it would be a giant thing. He carried them, the gates and the two side posts, up to the top of the mountain that is in front of Hebron. That's incredible, the amount of strength it would have taken to do that. And it came about after that he fell in love with a woman in the torrent valley of Sorek, and her name was Delilah. And the axis lords of the Philistines proceeded to come up to her and to say to her, fool him and see in what his great power is, and with what we can prevail over him, and with what we are certain to tie him so as to master him. And we, for our part, shall give you each 1,100 silver pieces. Later, Delilah said to Samson, do tell me, please, in what is your great power, and with what can you be tied for one to master you? Then Samson said to her, if they tie me with 7 still moist sinews that have not dried out, I must also grow weak and become like an ordinary man. So the axis lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 still moist sinews that had not been dried out. Later she tied him with them. Now the ambush was sitting in the interior room of hers, and she began to say to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. At that he tore the sinews in two, just as a twisted thread of tow is torn in two when it smells fire. And his power did not become known. Subsequently, Delilah said to Samson, look, you have trifled with me that you might speak lies to me. Now tell me, do please, with what you can be tied. So he said to her, if they tie me tight with new ropes, with which no work has been done, I must also grow weak and become like an ordinary man. So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them, and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. All the while the ambush was sitting in the interior room. At that he tore them in two from off his arms like a thread. After that Delilah said to Samson, up till now you have trifled with me that you might speak lies to me. Do tell me with what you can be tied. Then he said to her, if you will weave the 7 braids of my head with the warp thread. Accordingly she fixed them with the pin, after which she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the loom pin and the warp thread. She now said to him, how dare you say I do love you when your heart is not with me? These 3 times you have trifled with me and have not told me in what your great power is. And it came about that because she pressured him with her words all the time and kept urging him, his soul got to be impatient to the point of dying. Finally, he disclosed to her all his heart and said to her, a razor has never come upon my head because I am a Nazarite of God from my mother's belly. If I did get shaved, my power also would certainly depart from me, and I should indeed grow weak and become like all other men. When Delilah got to see that he had disclosed to her all his heart, she immediately sent and called the Philistine axis lord, saying, come up this time, for he has disclosed to me all his heart. And the Philistine axis lords came up to her that they might bring up the money in their hand, and she proceeded to make him sleep upon her knees. Then she called the man and had him shave off the 7 braids of his head, after which she started to show the mastery over him, and his power kept departing from upon him. Now, she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. At that he woke up from his sleep and said, I shall go out as at other times and shake myself free. And he himself did not know that it was Jehovah that had departed from him. So the Philistines grabbed hold of him and bored his eyes out and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with 2 fetters of copper. And he came to be a grinder in the prison house. They bored his eyes out. Meanwhile, the hair of his head started to grow luxuriantly as soon as he had been shaved. As for the Philistine axis lords, they gathered together to sacrifice the great sacrifice to Dagon their god and for rejoicing. And they kept saying, our God has given into our hands Samson, our enemy. When the people got to see him, they at once gave way to praising their God, because they said, our God has given into our hand our enemy and the devastator of our land, and the one who multiplied our slain. And it came about, there's the dairy affecting my throat. And it came about that because their heart was merry, sorry about that, I just accidentally changed chapters. They began to say, call Samson that he may offer us some amusement. So they called Samson out of the prison house that he might make sport before them, and they proceeded to stand him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the boy that was holding him by his hand, Samson was blind, of course, do permit me to feel the pillars upon which the house is firmly established, and let me lean against them. Incidentally, the house was full of men and women, and all the Philistine axis lords were there. And upon the roof there were about 3,000 men and women who were looking on while Samson offered some amusement. Samson now called to Jehovah and said, Sovereign Lord Jehovah, remember me, please, and strengthen me, please, just this once, O you, the true God, and let me avenge myself upon the Philistines with vengeance for one of my 2 eyes. With that, Samson braced himself against the 2 middle pillars upon which the house was firmly established and got a grasp on them, one with his right and the other with his left hand. And Samson proceeded to say, let my soul die with the Philistines. Then he bent himself with power, and the house went falling upon the axis lords and upon all the people that were in it, so that the dead that he put to death in his own death came to be more than those he had put to death during his lifetime. Later, his brothers and all the household of his father came on down and lifted him up and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burial place of Manoah his father. As for him, he had judged Israel 20 years. And so we know that Samson judged Israel for 20 years, but it was during the domination or oppression by the Philistines on the west side of the Jordan. And I've been thinking about the Judges chapter 12 section where we had trouble understanding who these judges were here. From Bethlehem and from Zebulun and from Ephraim. Now, Zebulun and Ephraim are tribes or territories in the northern, well, more north than Bethlehem. But Zebulun's particularly far north, and Gilead is a region on the east side of the Jordan, but it's somewhere very close to the Jordan River. So it's possible these judges could have been on the west side of the Jordan and still have judged the residents of Gilead. It's possible. So that occurred to me today, that we might have more of an explanation for that. If Gilead referred to the region that's particularly close to the east side, which it does appear to be the case, actually. When I reviewed a map that I myself made many years ago, I showed Gilead as being very near to the east bank of the Jordan, in which case it would not have been all that difficult for someone on the west side to have been the judge of those people, but it's not that logical, really, when you first look at it, because they were buried in their hometown, which was on the west side, for one thing. Each of these judges, and except for Jephthah, who, of course, was buried on the east side in Gilead. But they're all mentioned as succeeding and being successors of Jephthah. Therefore, it seems like they must have judged on the east side of the Jordan, which fits perfectly with the chronology. They didn't rule up until a point any later than 1100 BCE, which fits extremely well with the time period, which was 1100 BCE when Saul began to be the king, and he would have ruled both sides of the Jordan as the first king of Israel. So it fits really well. It's just a little bit puzzling why three of those judges were on the west side. I'm still struggling with that. 1 Timothy chapter 5. But I mean, I've dealt with it already. I mean, I dealt with it in the past during the time when I was doing much more intensive research for the writing of my articles. So, and I did much more thorough work. I want to say what happened, too. The reason, with regard to the vitamin D, the reason why I didn't think the vitamin D would hurt me was because I was taking the vitamin K2. Vitamin K2 uses up vitamin D. So because I was taking a large amount of vitamin K2 in the liquid supplement that I was taking from Thorne Labs, it had a lot of vitamin D, but I thought that could be possibly used up because I was taking such a large amount of K2 in the same supplement. It was both K2 and D together. So that's why I didn't think I necessarily would be poisoned by the vitamin D. I think that's what happened. That must have been the reason. That's the only logical reason. But I learned something new today, that vitamin K2, it's not as good in the MK4 form unless you get milligrams of it. You need the MK7 form of vitamin K2 to prevent the heart disease and do all the benefits in the body that vitamin K2 does. It's much more beneficial generally to use vitamin K2 in the MK7 form. So the liquid form that I was taking would only work if I took, well, at least 20 drops of it, which would be, unfortunately, at least it would be 10,000 units of vitamin D to take that much. So that might not be too much. I could probably take couple of milligrams of it at a time once I get myself back to good health again. But I shouldn't have been taking it in teaspoons at a time, which is hundreds of drops. I mean, it was not just 20 drops. Do not severely criticize an older man. To the contrary, entreat him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all chasteness. Honor widows that are actually widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let these learn first to practice godly devotion in their own household and to keep paying a due compensation to their parents and grandparents, for this is acceptable in God's sight. Now the woman who is actually a widow and left destitute has put her hope in God and persists in supplications and prayers night and day. But the one that goes in for sensual gratification is dead, though she is living. So keep on giving these commands, that they may be irreprehensible. Certainly, if anyone does not provide for those who are his own, and especially for those who are members of his household, he has disowned the faith and is worse than a person without faith. Let a widow be put on the list who has become not less than 60 years old, a wife of one husband, having a witness born to her for fine works, if she reared children, if she entertained strangers, if she washed the feet of holy ones, if she relieved those in tribulation, if she diligently followed every good work. On the other hand, turn down younger widows, for when their sexual impulses have come between them and the Christ, they want to marry, having a judgment because they have disregarded their first expression of faith. At the same time, they also learn to be unoccupied, gadding about to the houses. Yes, not only unoccupied, but also gossipers and meddlers in other people's affairs. talking of things they ought not. This is Paul writing to Timothy. Therefore, I desire the younger widows to marry, to bear children, to manage a household, to give no inducement to the opposer to revile. Already, in fact, some have been turned aside to follow Satan. If any believing woman has widows, let her relieve them, and let the congregation not be under the burden. Then it can relieve those who are actually widows. Let the older men who preside in a fine way be reckoned worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard in speaking and teaching. For the Scripture says, you must not muzzle a bull when it thrashes out the grain. Also, the workman is worthy of his wages. Do not admit an accusation against an older man, except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. Reprove before all onlookers persons who practice sin, that the rest also may have fear. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus and the chosen angels to keep these things without prejudgment, doing nothing according to a biased leaning. Never lay your hands hastily upon any man. Neither be a sharer in the sins of others. Preserve yourself chaste. Do not drink water any longer, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent cases of sickness. The sins of some men are publicly manifest, leading directly to judgment. But as for other men, their sins also become manifest later. In the same way, also, the fine works are publicly manifest, and those that are otherwise cannot be kept hid. It's the end of 1 Timothy chapter 5. It's the end of our Bible study for today. It's good to be with you again. I hope you're doing well. It's remarkable. I think because I took a lot of vitamin K2, I used up a lot of the vitamin D in my body, too. Because K2 does consume vitamin D. And after I had the toxic experience with vitamin D, I kept taking vitamin K2, but without the vitamin D. And I took quite a lot of K2 every day. I've been taking, but now I'm being a little more cautious with the K2. Because ever since I had a bit of a heart issue, where my heart behaved strangely, which could have been caused by the magnesium. But it could have been the K2. I don't know, because K2 is so powerful in its function, where it vitamin K2 is the calcium vitamin, and calcium makes the heart beat. So I'm a little concerned about how much K2 could harm me if I'm not taking vitamin D with it. So that's the problem too, I think. I don't know what K2 can do without vitamin D. It shouldn't do anything. But there are many complex processes going on in the body, and everybody's processes might be different depending on what their state of health currently is. So I'm a little more cautious now about taking the K2, but I think because I took so much K2 after I had the vitamin D anomaly and toxicity, that I took too much D, but after that I kept taking vitamin K2. In significant quantities every day, and I've been doing that for it's been coming on 2 months now, I guess, August, September, October, yeah, it's coming up to 2 months. On about the 28th of October, it'll be 2 months. So that vitamin K2 causes the vitamin D to be used up. So, because I've been doing that for 2 months, that might radically reduce the time it takes to get the vitamin D out of my body. And that might be why I'm experiencing a deficiency of vitamin D right now, and that's why I need to start taking it again. It's a very, not necessarily complex, but a very little known thing. There's a document from PubMed. It's fantastic. It says vitamin K2 in an ideal world would be, simple, okay? The matrix GLA protein found in the tissues of the heart, kidneys, and lungs plays a dominant role in vascular calcium metabolism. Its production is stimulated by vitamin D3, but it requires adequate vitamin K2 intakes to be activated. Once activated by vitamin K2, MGP can bind calcium and escort it out of the areas where this mineral is destructive, namely arteries and soft tissues. Vitamin K2 therefore reverses heart disease and other things like arthritis. It causes the calcium to go into the right places in the bones, or it helps it because it allows the MGP to be activated, which can then bind the calcium to get it out of these places where it shouldn't be and into the places where it should be. Now, there's K1 and K2. K1 doesn't do anything. I mean, it does a lot of things, but it doesn't do anything close to what K2 does. In the things about which we're talking here, it doesn't do anything for heart disease. And MK4, it doesn't have great access because it has a short half-life in the body. So MK7 is better because MK7 is in the body for more than 3 days, it says here in this article, whereas MK4 is only there for a few hours. MK4, typically you get it by eating food. A lot of different foods that we eat have MK4 in it. MK7 is harder to get, but we can take a supplement or eat natto bean, fermented soybean from Japan. There's another way to get it, but MK7 is harder to get. But also, MK4 requires milligram levels, multiple doses per day of milligram levels, whereas MK7 only requires microgram levels, and I'm taking a few hundred micrograms, or maybe more than a few hundred, but hundreds of micrograms of MK7 is what I've been taking, as well as I've been taking hundreds of micrograms of MK4, but it's not enough, I realize now. Except for before, I was taking a lot more of it when I was overdosing on vitamin D, but I knew I needed milligram quantities. That's why I took more of it. But in doing so, I overdosed on vitamin D because I couldn't get the liquid MK4 without the vitamin D in it. But I will be looking into this some more if I can get MK4. I just have to take 20 capsules of the MK4 without the vitamin D, for example. Then I could get 2 milligrams of 100 microgram per capsule MK4, which is something I could do, but that's 20 capsules a day I'd have to take of the MK4 without the D. I don't want any D when I'm taking the MK7 or MK4, both of which are vitamin K2. I don't want the D with the K2. I can take the D separately in smaller quantities, and that's what I'm going to be doing. But MK7 is the real powerful one. It's MK7, not MK4, to do with the heart disease and all of that stuff, which I didn't really know. They do say that MK4 can reverse osteoporosis, though. That's all for today's study. In Japan, for decades, they've been doing that work. October 22nd, 2023. 2101 hours. Ward Green, I love you, and this is my chronograph, Crow, and my Casio watch, Cassie, on my behalf saying bye for now.